Our first story tonight is by our longtime friend, Jeff Javalt, who I believe is in the house tonight. Jeff, are you here? There he is. Hi, Jeff. Jeff is a writer, a journalist, and the founder of the Young Writers Project. In his story, 10 Days in Winter, a young woman from the remote mountains of Vermont proves the timeless nature of love and longing, family and beauty, and the joy that can be found in one special pair of bright green eyes. Here to read 10 Days in Winter is a talented young woman you might recognize from her role as Joan in our hit production of Fun Home. Please welcome Shay Dunlop.
Friday, January 1st, 1892. Four Below, cloudy. Boys was up in the woods today, cutting mill logs. Took both teams and the long saws. I baked 5 meat pies, 2 apple pies, and fried some donuts. Cleaned, trimmed, filled the lanterns, swept the kitchen and parlor. I checked in on the animals. Horses were restless. Ma stayed in bed again today. Seems like she's not getting any better. If anything, she's worse. It's a new year, so I decided to start this journal in his new book Ernest gave me for Christmas. God bless him. I love the nice leather cover with his fancy tie and soft, fresh paper. He fashioned a new quill for me out of a goose feather. Right smooth. He got me a new bottle of ink, too. Thrilled my heart when he came with it. My only present. I should say that my name is Carrie Alice Bickford. I'm 17. I live in Linden, Vermont, up the mountain from the Ville and not too far from the forks of the Passumpsic River. I stopped going to school 2 years ago when Ma first started getting her spells. At least that's what she calls them. Pa said she got consumption when she went down near St. Johnsbury to help her cousin. He says she's lucky. Could have been worse, but she's never been quite the same. There are 7 of us in this house. Ma, Pa, my 4 brothers, 3 older, 1 younger, and me. Though sometimes when the boys get in the cider and get up all with their cunning jokes and speeches and all, it feels like there are 60 of us crammed in here. They spend most of their time in the woods, or in the fields, or in the yard, cutting or splitting logs, or going to town, to the mill, or to sell stuff, or do whatever it is they do down there. It's nice that they're out of the house most of the time. It's quiet. Every once in a while, I can sneak a little time to read one of the books Ola brings home from school. I get to imagine, just for a moment, what life would be like in England, or Italy, or down south on the Mississippi. I love novels best, but poetry sings to me. Sometimes stanzas of Dickinson just leap into my mind. Success is counted sweetest by those who ne'er succeed. To comprehend a nectar requires sorest need. As a woman who never ventures out of her house right like that. We got 2 teams of oxen, horses, some sheep, chickens, and a cow is a good milker when she's fresh. We grow hay, oats, eating corn, taters, root vegetables, berries, and a summer garden of greens, even to grow flowers. Mostly it's me that does the garden and house chores now that Ma's not well. But sometimes I can get the boys to weed the taters or cook the beans or sort the market, but mostly it's just me. Endless chores. Saturday, January 2nd, 1892. 10 above, cloudy. Ernest came to visit today. Joyous heart, he looks me so. He came up about 4:30 and stayed through supper. The boys and Ma like him. Pa doesn't say much one way or the other. Ernest and I first met as strangers in October, but now I hope never to part. Wonder if he can save me as much. so. I hope so. His family's new to town, from Derby. They raise workhorses in the valley, and they graze some of them up near here. So I learned this fall. I was scrubbing the floors one day and looked up and saw three brown mares out near the garden. I ran out and got the lead into the barn. I had to use an apple, but it worked. The others followed her in. Not long after, I seen him coming up the road, standing proud-like on his wagon, reins gently in his hands. He was beautiful. No two ways about it. Standing there, wind blowing in his hair. "Seen three horses around here?" he asked when he pulled up in the yard. I took him to the barn. He was surprised I'd been able to get him inside. No need to be surprised, I told him, though I was so flustered I couldn't even look him in the eye. We didn't say much as he hitched him single file to the back of the wagon and started to head out. He then turned and asked if he could come calling sometime. Didn't even wait for my answer. Sunday, January 3rd, 1892. 20 above, snowing. Snow started early this morning, before dawn. I was up getting stove wood, and it came in fine flakes, like it was going to last forever. And it made the whole world go quiet. I stood, logs in my arms, and looked up at the sky. Felt nice. Kind of tickled. After breakfast, I got Ma settled, and then we took the wagon down to church. I love church. Not sure I'm all that religious and what, but sure is nice getting out and seeing some folks. I keep hoping to see Ernest, but he don't come. Just not his thing, he says. I tried to talk him into coming anyways, just so we can see each other. But he says he just don't like it. Besides, he usually gets some outside work on Sundays, and his pa says he can save some of the cash he earns. Monday, January 4th, 1892. 18 above, cloudy. We got about 10-12 inches of snow before it stopped early this morning. Boys were lagging, so I went to the barn, milked, fed the animals, collected some eggs. The horses were a lot calmer. I think they get all worked up when the weather comes. Pa and the boys went back up to the woods today. Ola stayed back. They were breaking out a new road to a stand steep on the ridge. Said they was worried he might not move fast enough if he had to. Ma slept on and off today. Made her some tea, chamomile, rose hips, and lemon balm with a little peppermint. Ma swears by it. I had to hold her head up so she could drink some. Seems like she's hotter than she was. And she's not eating. Says her head aches so much she just about can't stand it. I was halfway down the stairs when it just overcame me. I leaned up against the wall and felt everything pour over me, like, how can I bear this? How can I bear it if she leaves us? God, I know I'm not supposed to think this way. I know it's you who decides these things, but I don't know what I'll do if she leaves us. I mean, even when I'm in the kitchen or in the barn or the garden, even when she's up here, I can feel her. I can feel her keeping me going. I was glad Ola was in the house. I helped him with his spelling and reading. He was fussing over a booklet of Dickinson's poems, same book I had. And I told him she was magical. He should listen to her words. Ola's the only one still schooling. He complains about it, but I miss it. Got me out of the house. I had friends, like Liza, Clara, Tessa. I don't ever see him anymore. I used to imagine myself going to normal school to become a teacher in St. Johnsbury or Burlington, or maybe even go to university like Joanna did. There's something out there for me still. There's gotta be. After lunch, Ola helped me dress up one of the lambs, skinned it, butchered it, wrapped it up in nice packages, and set them in the ice house under the sawdust. It was Ola's first lamb, though I had to do the killing. But he did good. He'll know next time. Saved a haunch for a stew later. Potatoes, beans, and carrots are holding up. Firm, dry, no mold. House was so quiet today, even with Ola. He's the quiet one, the sweet one. Out the windows, the world is white. Blanket of white, far as you can see. I wish dear Ernest would come. Tuesday, January 5th, 1892. 10 above, lovely. Ola had to go back to school today. He was none too happy about it. Boys didn't make it any easier on him, them acting so special and all, like, who needs it? Pa gave him what for and told Ola to get a move on if he was going to make it down the hill in time. The rest went up to cut more logs on the ridge. Ma seemed worse today. Kept quiet as I could. Did the washing and mopped the kitchen floor. Spent time sewing up the boys' clothes. Don't know how they get so many rips. Seemed like they don't pay it no mind. Like, I got nothing else to do. Made 2 dried apple pies and baked 6 loaves of hard bread. Came out good. I feel tired tonight. My hands are so sore I can barely hold the quill. And I got so many thoughts wandering around my mind. Ma, those cunning boys always wanting this and that. Pa, saying nothing about anything. Why don't he ever talk to me? Sometimes I just feel like grabbing my coat and running out the house and down the hill into the ville and hop some coach somewhere and get out of here. I love them all, God knows, and I know my duty. Just once. Can I take a deep breath? Can I see something new? Can I be me? Would Ernest come with me? Wednesday, January 6th, 1892. 20 above, snowing. Ma was worse this morning. I heard her coughing during the night. And I got up, came down to find Pa rumbling around the stove. I told him I'd take care of it. Made tea, eggs, grilled some hard bread, pulled out some strawberry preserves. Pa ate, but Ma was having none of it. Pa said he'd go down and get Doc Abrams if she wasn't better tomorrow. I wish dear Ernest would come. Dear God, I wish he'd come. Thursday, January 7th, 1892, 15 above, clear. Came down this morning to find Pa staring out the window into the darkness. Pa has a way of saying things without words, and I could feel the sadness, even a little fear, in his eyes. I made him some eggs, warmed some meat pie, wrapped him up some hard bread, jerky, dried apples. Helped him out the door to make the trip for Doc. He turned and gave me a hug. Couldn't remember the last time he'd done that. The boys was all quiet when they came down. They seemed to know. Ola was all dressed, which was something of a miracle. That boy can't find 2 shoes if they're right in front of him. He was out the door and down the hill before the boys could even get a go at him. Charlie told me he'd be driving the main team with Manny and Vernon, that they'd be nearby going after Housewood. Pa returned with Doc Abrams near 1 o'clock. Said Doc had been way over on the other side of East Burke at Widow Harrington. Doc is a sweet man. Gave me a smile when he came in, but there was an edge to it. A little worry. He took off his coat and boots, put on some house shoes, and went up to see Ma. Pa went out to the barn, said he'd attend to the chores. When Doc came back down, he told me she probably has the grip, which was not good, considering the consumption she battles. He asked me how I was feeling. Fine, I told him. I've been fine. It's blue. It's all just blue. He smiled. I'm sure that, dear. I fixed him some coffee, and he asked me to go get Pa. He told us all we had to do was wash our hands and the dishware extra. He said this bug was nothing to be trifled at, and that we needed to see an improvement in the next day or so. I was set to take her some tea, but Pa said he'd do it. And that was that. Doc gave me a packet of powders, said they should help, and I should continue to give her the herbals. Get plenty of water in her, he said. She needs some broth, too, fresh broth. Pa came back down, and the two left for the Millers down in the Ville. My friend Liza was overdue. Hope everything goes all right. Still, can't believe she's married. Now about to have a child? My Liza! I miss her. I went to the barn and got one of the chickens hanging, skinned it, and brought it in for soup. I kept quiet as I could and checked in on Ma several times. She was sleeping. That was good. Set to more of the sewing. It was near 3 when I saw Ola coming up the road, a smile on his face. Staring out the window, I felt such a sadness I couldn't understand, and the tears just started rolling down. Friday, January 8th, 1892. 22 above, changeable. My prayers were answered. 3:30, there came Ernest riding up in his sleigh wagon. Oh, we went up the road to the clearing on the mountain. We stayed past sunset. I knew we shouldn't have stayed so long. The boys would be hungry, and he knew, too, but I talked him into it. It seems like I feel so different with him. Like everything's in control, like a weight off my shoulders. Things seem possible. I told him I want to go back to school. I want to learn and learn. I want to do something. I don't know what, but something. And he tells me that he wants to move to the city, maybe all the way up to Burlington, open a shop, do some of his leather work, but live where there's people, music, theater, and dancing. Imagine that, he said. Imagine that. In the clear, crisp dusk, we watched a hawk circle above us. And the sky turned deep blue with just an orange slit in the west. We two all snug in our arts, under the wool and the hides. We didn't even feel the cold as we made our way back home. Everything was so bright, white, and blue. Boys was right horny when got home, and they plagued me with their talk and their snickers. I told him, how hard is it to move the stew pot from the pantry to the stove? How hard is it to put a few logs in the firebox? I went out to get the stew and saw Pa hold the lantern, stand inside Ernest's wagon, talking, but talking at him. Ernest turned and got back on the wagon, snapped the reins, and was off. Pa came in. Ernest won't be staying for supper. That's all he said. Made me so mad, I thought I was gonna bust. Boys had sense enough to keep quiet. and we ate in silence. Even with them all around me, I felt the loneliest I'd ever felt. The magic of the sunset was gone. All gone. Saturday, January 9th, 1892, 30 above, clear. I got up early. Pa came down, filled with sleep, still in his bed shirt. Fever broke, he said, touching my arm, giving me a hint of a smile. Fever broke. Boys came down one by one, just as normal. Ola said he didn't want to go to school no more, and the boys asked if they could just work half the day. Pa just stared at him. Learning to be done, he said. More logs to pull. And out they went. I swept the floors, cleared the ice from the cistern. At lunchtime, I warmed some tea and soup and took it up to Ma. She was awake, sitting up. She even used a spoon herself. After a bit, she turned and told me she was proud of all I'd done. I wish I was healthy again, she said. Wouldn't be such a burden on you, doing all you're doing. I wanted to tell her how I was feeling, how desperate I was for her to get well and free me, how guilty I was for feeling that way, but I don't know why, I just couldn't tell her that. Like, something had changed between us. But then she said, don't worry no more, Carrie. I told her I wouldn't. I was glad she was better and that we'd all been worried. I don't mean that, she said. No, I mean, don't worry about Ernest. Your pa will come round. And don't worry about these chores and your schooling and where you're headed, girl. I'll be back up. You'll see. I'll be back up. Bless you, child. I melted in her arms. Be it so. Be it so. Saturday, January 10th, 1892, 42 degrees, partly cloudy. Sometime in the night, the warm breeze brought the thaw. The yard was all a mess of mud. After breakfast, I took some tea to Ma, and then we piled in the hay wagon to go down to church. As we pulled in, the sun came out, just for a moment, all spring-like, and we made our way in. I wasn't even noticing till I sat down, and there he was. Just two pews up. Ernest turned and smiled, all confident and warm with his bright green eyes, all watery. And then he turned back. I guess not wanting to make a big spectacle of it all.